Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Oh boy. Like that optimistic sigh?
It was slightly optimistic. I loved it.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Hello, everyone.
Oh my goodness.
Hey.
Hello there.
I am Molly Wood. That is Kimberly Adams.
Welcome to Make Me Smart. Oh my goodness. This is exciting. So this is the live stream, yeah?
Yes, I was just typing hello to the live to the people in the live stream. We are live on YouTube. It is Economics on Tap. We we might need a new tagline making today make sense. We're going to try. But if anybody is out there thinking that anything is going to make sense between now and, I'm just going to spitball, November-ish, maybe January, you're kidding yourselves. You're adorable.
So what are you drinking, Molly?
I have a lot to learn from you, my friend, in the cocktail department. I got all excited because I wanted to make a mint julep in honor of your semi-southern roots and my out-of-control mint plant. And so I made myself a mint simple syrup. I got my good bourbon and a little bit of soda water. And it looks lovely. I put it in a mason jar because I am nothing if not a middle-aged white lady living in Northern California. And that's how we roll, mason jars for everything. But if I'm being honest, it tastes a little like toothpaste. It's not perfect.
Not perfect. What kind of bourbon did you use?
This fancy kind that I can't remember the name of. It was a gift.
Okay. You probably just need
See?
More bourbon.
So much to learn. More bourbon. I'll be right back.
Yes.
Just kidding.
I can wait. Well, I decided to let your cocktail shine in all of its glory. So I'm going to have wine.
Love it. Is that 19 Crimes?
My favorite cheap grocery store wine. Yes. Yes.
So great.
It's pretty
good. Yeah, I'm with you. That is also my favorite.
To maintain my standard of fanciness, I will be drinking it out of a pewter goblet, which I shall show you.
Oh,
what? Because it has a dragon on it.
That
See
is
the little
amazing.
Dragon on
Kimberly
the
always brings it. And even the radio making that just occurred with the pouring sounds, I mean, that was beautiful. It's art. It's
Thank
art,
you.
What we do
Thank
here
you.
Every day. It's just
yes.
art.
Yes. We also yep. do news. We also do news fixes.
Shall we? Shall we begin?
I'm ready.
I think we have a similar theme today from previewing your link. Mm-hmm. I'll start because I guess it's
no,
all
I
sort
don't
of related.
Think we do, so, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. So the New York Times this week, I think it could be fair to say, was full of, when I said earlier, if you think things are going to make sense between now and November to January, you're wrong. I mean that a lot of shiny objects are going to come up over the next few months and already are, and they are going to be distracting. But that ultimately the thing to really not lose sight of, and you know, look, renewed trade tensions are a big deal, right? Jobs reports, like the minute by minute tracking of the numbers is important. But the New York Times has been updating its coronavirus tracker and tracking not only the deaths that are being specifically attributed to coronavirus, which is now over 160,000, but unexplained deaths, excess deaths across the country. And the CDC has estimated that from March 15th to July 25th, 200,700 people, more people than usual, have died. And that's 54,000 higher than the official count of coronavirus deaths for that period. And it's terrible. It is objectively, literally, and empirically terrible.
Yeah, because that's people's families, you know? Those are yep. people's loved ones. And the numbers always can seem so abstract, but, you know, those of us who still get newspapers, like the I noticed something really grim is that the sports section, which is pretty thin nowadays given everything going on, has started, like, the obituaries have started bleeding over into the sports section.
Wow.
Because just so many people are dying. And, but...
Yeah. And we, you know, I'm not, and I don't mean to cut you off, but also we don't have a plan. Like, we're entering,
we talked about this yesterday,
and we don't have help. We don't have a plan, and help so far is still not coming. We have a adjourned Friday without an agreement on stimulus. Somebody tweeted me, and I think this is a fair comment to have made. Somebody tweeted and said, you keep talking about a deal on Capitol Hill, a deal in Congress. And he said, isn't that a little bit disingenuous considering that the House passed a bill in May? And that what is really happening is that you have an entire body of Congress that's just recalcitrant and hasn't wanted to come to the table. And now they're negotiating, sure. But I think that is very fair to point out that this is a cliff that everybody saw coming, that there could have been action a long time ago, and there isn't. And now we're in this weird negotiation, and we're literally having a conversation about whether Congress is going to go on recess at the end of next week.
I mean, sure, you can make that argument. The Dems had their version of things done a while back, but they knew that that wasn't going to fly with the GOP. And the GOP put their strategy out, and they knew it wasn't going to fly with the Dems. This is how legislation gets done. This is how Congress would work if it actually functioned in a
definitely
logical way.
But like a 3-month delay, though?
It was completely avoidable. We didn't have to be here. 'Twas ever thus in this entire pandemic. But in some ways, the sort of stabilizing jobs numbers, which are still terrible, but they're stable for the most part, is giving Congress a little bit more of a window. When the job losses were skyrocketing, when the numbers were of people dying were just going up so sharply, it was harder for them to say, let's wait and see, we're going to take our time. But now that we've all become accustomed to the steady loss of life, the steady unemployment, the steady state of awfulness, it's in some ways it gives them cover to not push for further action. Although I think that the alarm bells are really going off. I saw a story today about Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin talking about getting the Trump administration to try to issue some executive orders to address some of these things that Congress just cannot get done. It is one of the last times that I was on here before this week with Kai, he asked me if I thought it was – if we were at the bottom or if it was going to get worse. And I said I thought it was going to get worse because, like I said yesterday, I look at the bottom shelf at the grocery store. It's not looking good. However, I'm going to move to my news fix because it actually is a little bit, tiny bit uplifting.
Yes.
Which is that there is some really optimistic and apparently like me, people like my Twas Ever Thus.
I know, exactly. It's a new t-shirt. Twas Ever Thus. Merch.
I'm sure I got that from a book somewhere, probably. Anyway, the treatments for plasma treatments look good. We had a lot of sort of false starts of things that they thought might meaningfully help people who are suffering from this terrible disease. But for everything bad that's happening, the science is getting better. The science is improving. Treatments are improving. People are more likely to survive. And even though, we don't have enough PPE, we don't have enough resources for hospitals, we don't have enough social distancing and masking, but people are surviving more. And yes, I would love it if people did smart things and not stupid things to prevent this disease from spreading. But in the meantime, I am still incredibly pleased that because of science and people working so hard in the pharmaceutical industry, in hospitals, in research labs, in universities all over the country, progress, and all over the world, progress is being made. And there are people who will survive this virus today that would not have survived this virus a couple of months ago. And so, yes, we should keep up the pressure on our lawmakers and everyone around us to do the right thing. But I think it's worth taking a moment to acknowledge that in that regard, things are getting better. So
I totally, yeah. No, I love this.
I have
and
slightly
I completely
positive
agree.
News fix for once in my life.
I mean, it's really true. One of the interviews that we did for our special was with Safi Bacall, who is a biotech investor and author. And that is one of the things he talked about, that by the time we even get to a vaccine, we may be at a point where the coronavirus, that where COVID-19, much like HIV, is a chronic condition and not a fatal one for many, many more people. And that is, you know, and there's this sort of like, it's awkward to talk about death rates, but they are a bit lower. And the reason that they're a bit lower is that treatments are improving. And that, I thank you, because I completely agree. It is a sincerely hopeful story. And, you know, go science.
Go science. And also, because the survival rate is improving and because of these new treatments, you know, I'm always very careful about conflating the economic story and the human life story. But when people can survive it, it's a different discussion about how we treat the economic problem. Because, yes, you have to get the virus in check in order to for the economy to recover. But – and that makes controlling the virus definitely a higher priority than saving the economy. But when you have just untold numbers of people dying, and we still have 1,000 people dying a day, so it's still terrible. But given the spread of the virus, if we still had New York-type fatality rates as this is spreading all over the country, then you really couldn't think about the economy. It would just be, fingers crossed, hopefully, if I believe in the optimism of the human spirit, that that would be the thing that we were all really worried about. So, yes.
The virus is the economy. Full stop.
It is indeed.
When it's under control, we can put all the other things back together. This seems like a really...
And I'm sorry.
There we go. Yep. I was like, this seems like the perfect place to keep smiling.
Keep smiling. And I'm sorry I didn't explain earlier about the bottom shelf thing. It's second referency. But in the grocery store on the bottom shelf, a lot of times are the lower cost items that people who are struggling financially might buy. And also, you know, there's certain items at the grocery store that only... that people who are eligible for SNAP or WIC food benefits are able to buy and not. And so, you know, they have a little label on those. And you'll find that those things are sold out a bit more often than they used to be also.
Yep.
But we're in the smile section.
Make me smile.
Go, Molly.
We're in the smile time.
Yes.
I, like, 1 million people sent this, like, tweeted it to me directly as a make me smile. It was trending all day. Somebody, I mean, I cannot tell you how many, I think several people texted it to me. Like, everybody's like, look, it make me smile. And then as a result, I have had the song that I'm about to refer to in my head the whole day. I literally had to listen to it on my rage run because I couldn't stop singing it in my mind. But it is indeed the most delightfully charming video you will ever see. And it goes with my theme of unity building. Because it's two teenage boys who have a YouTube channel in which they basically listen to a song for the first time and react to it. And also, they've got like a boxing photo in the back. There's one point where they're like, this song would be great for a WWE walk-up for wrestling. And I was like, I'm right there with you. But they're teenage boys. And someone apparently, one of their fans on YouTube had been suggesting over and over that they listen to Phil Collins, their twins, like their channel's called like Twins, something, something. They're just darling. And someone apparently had been saying, like, you have to listen to The Night, the one that I Can Feel It, In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins. And they're, like, completely suspicious. And they start listening to it. And they're just like, actually, this is pretty cool. This is pretty cool. This is pretty great. And then if you know this song, you know. And the, like, the mom of a Gen Z-aged boy was just, I was... in me was so tense because I was like, oh, this song like takes a minute, you know, it takes like a while to build to the
It takes a bit to
Yes. And so I'm totally stressing and I'm like, they're going to give up because that's what my kid would do. He'd be like, this is cool, but I'm out. But they listen to the whole thing because that's their whole deal. And then, of course, if you know the song, at like 3 minutes in, it's like, and they're just like, what?
And it they're like, who drops a bass? Who drops the beat 3 minutes into a song?
3 minutes into a song. And it ends and they're like, okay, I'm putting that on my playlist. One of them's like, look, and he holds it up to the camera like, fine, all right, I put it on my playlist. It is so delightful. And they're just kind of, I mean, they're like bopping the whole time. Like the whole time they're just like, all right, this is not terrible. It's not the worst. It could be like somebody's wrestling walk-on song. And I'm telling you, watch the whole 7 minutes and 50 seconds and it will legitimately make you smile and you will have to listen to the song like seven times to try to get it out of your head and it won't work. So sorry. That was by request.
That was great. That was great. Well done, Molly. Well done. You have a new life as a drummer in the future. I believe in you.
I have a story about that. Well, I'll tell you later.
Oh, I'm excited. Well, now you have to just tell us.
I can't because it's a bummer. And we're in the smile
okay.
part.
Well, we're in the smile go. Part. Smile. More science. More science. Yay. Perseid meteor shower. Woo. So I was super bummed. I was out on my deck like so many nights trying to see that freaking comet. And I never saw it. And I was really bummed. So Perseid meteor shower is in August. And they're coming up. Supposedly the peak is going to be, what, the 11th and the 12th when the moon is a little less than half full. And so I am very excited to finally see more things. Now, granted, I live in the city. There's a lot of light pollution. I don't know if I'm actually going to be able to see it. But I am determined to get myself some galactic viewing going on in my life. It gives me something to look forward to. And we all need something to look forward to, right?
Drive out to the Davids. Yeah, no, I'm excited about this too because I did
and
also.
And happy birthday
very
to my Uncle David.
Thing. Yes. How many signatures did you land on? Like 700?
So I made an online birthday card for my Uncle David. And the last I checked, there were more than 1,100 messages in the birthday card, including some original artwork from some people, this guy in Sweden, aww, I think. It was really adorable, and I talked to him this morning, and he was feeling very loved and special, and they're going out to their favorite restaurant tonight for dinner, and they've got this – I sort of crowdsourced ideas for what to give them, and they have this little digital photo frame, and people are sending them pictures with, like, happy birthday. It's all very adorable.
So wonderful. See? Smiles all around, friends.
Yes. Yep. Oh, everybody's saying how they watch him on Instagram. That's great.
Yes, they do. I know they make me smile too every day, Kristen. That is it for us. Please don't forget to visit our show page at makemesmart.org for the show notes and links to the things that we talked about. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at marketplace.org/newsletters. I will actually be gone next week. I'm on staycay trying to help my child transition to school at our house. It's going to be great. But Kai will be back and you get an extra week of Kimberly. Yay!
Oh, and for the person asking in the chat, the artwork behind me is an Egyptian artist named Fatna Galal, and I got it when I used to live in Egypt. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Ben Heathcote produces video with the help of our intern, Ethan Peretz, and thanks to writer-producer Erica Phillips.
Today's program was engineered by the wonderful Drew Jostad, silent but deadly, I like to call him. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez. The executive director of On Demand and senior producer this week is Satara Nieves. And you definitely want to go to YouTube and search up APM Marketplace if you're not in the live stream so you can see Kimberly's art because her game is strong.
But also, silent but deadly means this. Some other
no, it just means he's a very quiet man who is also deadly hilarious. That's all it means.
That's not all it means, Molly.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.